Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Now, the Great Tribulation is a time of unprecedented persecution. Look at verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. You say, well, there's tribulation now. Listen, it's nothing compared with what's coming.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Jesus taught his disciples about what to expect during the end of the age. But when you think of the tribulation, the rapture, and the Antichrist, how much do you really know about the actual teaching of Jesus? Today, we're looking at what Jesus said about the coming tribulation. So continuing with the next part of our study in the book of Matthew, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Do you have an interest in biblical prophecy? I hope you do, as if we take the Bible seriously, we must deal with all of its truth, including prophetic truth. As we're studying Matthew 24, we're learning that Jesus taught his disciples about the signs of his coming and of the end of the age. World history is not going to continue as we know it. The Bible deals with origins and destinies, the future as well as the past, prophecy as well as history. So we want to be informed. We want to base our beliefs as to future events not on what some sensational so-called prophet is saying about the future of America or the world. We base our views on the infallible Word of God. So let's continue to study the teaching of Jesus on these coming events. Now, that tribulation period, that period of 7 years, that is a period described in the book of Revelation. I find that some churches, some people find, well, Revelation is too confusing. Well, this may help you. In Revelation, from chapter 6 through 18, there is the tribulation period. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of judgment. What's happening in the tribulation period? God's judgment is being poured out on the earth. Now, this seven-year period is sometimes called Daniel's 70th week. Matthew is going to refer to that. And it's divided into two halves of 3.5 years. At the beginning of the tribulation period, a man called the Antichrist is going to arise, and he's going to make a treaty with the nation of Israel. He's going to give them protection and security. At the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will break the treaty with Israel. Furthermore, as we will read in a minute, he will desecrate the temple. And then at the end of the tribulation, there'll be the glorious return of Jesus Christ with power and glory. We'll think of that next week. Now, you got your Bible? Matthew chapter 24 now, verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, that's the temple, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who's on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who's in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, if I've told you beforehand, so if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 28. Now, I want to consider three things: the abomination of desolation, the tribulation, and the Antichrist. First of all, the abomination of desolation. Look again at verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. The abomination of desolation, does the reader understand? You say, I don't have a clue. Others of you who know your Bibles say, yes, he's referring to Daniel. He tells us that. So let's go back to Daniel, shall we? Daniel chapter 9. Now, this is a huge subject, and we can't get into all of the details, but let's look at Daniel 9, and we'll look down at verse 26. Daniel's is like the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. The latter half of Daniel is prophetic. And after the 62 weeks, in Hebrews it's sevens, and after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. Who's the anointed one? Who is the Messiah? Our Lord Jesus. He will be cut off. He's crucified and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come, who's the prince who is to come? That's the Antichrist. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Prophecy, the anointed one's going to be cut off. And this prince will come. Verse 27, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. That's a week of years. That is 7 years. And for half of the week, 3.5 years, 42 months, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolate ore. Daniel 9, from verses 24 to the end of the chapter, are crucial for understanding these prophetic events. Now, the abomination of desolation refers in part, it certainly refers to the desecration of the temple. It refers to blasphemous worship. And historically, the abomination of desolation first occurred in 167 BC. A man called Antiochus Epiphanes, he enters the temple in Jerusalem. He massacres the Jews, and he sacrifices a pig in the temple on the altar to Zeus, the Greek god. In the Jewish temple, he selects a pig. Utter blasphemy. This is the abomination of desolation. This, of course, is idolatry. The abomination of desolation also occurs in AD 70. What do the Romans do? They desecrate and destroy the temple. They scatter the Jewish nation far and wide. I find it intriguing that the temple, the Jewish temple, the beautiful temple, was destroyed in AD 70, almost 2,000 years ago, and it has never yet been rebuilt. When we go to Jerusalem, one of the highlights of our visit is actually to stand on the Temple Mount. That's an incredible feeling. To be where the temple was, but there is no temple. And as you're on the Temple Mount, in fact, long before you even get up to the Temple Mount, there is a spectacular building on the Temple Mount. It's one of the most famous buildings in the world. But it's not the Jewish temple. What is it? It's the Dome of the Rock. That Dome of the Rock is built on the Temple Mount. It's built where Solomon's temple was, built in 691 to commemorate the spot from which Muhammad allegedly ascended to heaven in 621 AD. He ascended to heaven for a tour of paradise accompanied by the angel Gabriel. That's what they believe, and so that temple is built. Round it, in Arabic, there is an attack on the Trinity and blasphemous words regarding our Savior. For almost 2,000 years, there has been no Jewish temple. But Scripture predicts that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Not just rebuilt, it's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, the very center of the world. Arguably, I would say, the world's most famous city. Benjamin Disraeli is a former British Prime Minister, and he said, he was Jewish, he said, the view of Jerusalem is the history of the world. It is more, it is the history of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, yes. Do you remember in the future, what's going to come down? The new, what? Jerusalem. You can read it. Revelation 21. Now, the final fulfillment of the abomination of desolation is yet future. Verse 15 here refers to the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. What's the holy place? The temple. You say, is the temple going to be rebuilt? Yes. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'd like you to bring your Bibles so you can read it and underline it and mark it. You say, well, I've got it on my app. But you've been checking social media, haven't you? Listen, this is far more important. Far, far more important. Jesus is saying, let the reader understand. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul believes that he's coming back, and are being gathered together to him. Isn't that wonderful? We are going to be gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, brothers, do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord hasn't come. There was some false teaching in the church at Thessalonica. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness, another name for the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Interesting, isn't it? He's going to take his seat in the temple of God. Revelation chapter 11, the last book in the Bible, Revelation 11, the book that many of you find so confusing. We'll read the first two verses. Then I was given a measuring rod like a staff, and I was told. Now, John is writing around AD 90 after the destruction of the temple. He's not talking about Herod's temple. He's talking about a future temple. He is receiving prophecy from God in a vision. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. Do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Remember, the tribulation is divided into two halves of 3.5 years. The midpoint of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, and there's going to be an abomination of desolation. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to commit blasphemy. And this occurs, as I said, in the midpoint of the 7 years, at the beginning of what we call the Great Tribulation. Tribulation, 7.5 years. Now, of course, all of us go through tribulation, but Jesus prophesied that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the tribulation, as it were, with a capital T. And the last half of the 7 years is the Great Tribulation. So that's the abomination of desolation. Now, secondly, the tribulation. It's very important to understand that during the tribulation, Israel is the focal point. Why is that? Because the church has been raptured prior to the tribulation. And God once again puts his focus on the Jewish nation. You say, well, why is that? I thought now that we had the church has replaced Israel. Absolutely not. Do you remember the promises made to Abraham and his descendants? We call it the Abrahamic covenant. You can read about it in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17. God made promises. He entered into a covenant with Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and his descendants. And central to that covenant is the promise that Israel will be in the promised land. Over and over again, that's repeated in Scripture. The land belongs to Israel. Of course, it's the most disputed part of real estate in the world, isn't it? It's a very small country. When you're going there for the first time, you have to say, well, is that it? Particularly if you're an American and we live in such a large country. Israel is a small country. But it's not yet all in the land which was promised to Abraham. It continues to be a matter of great dispute. But God does not go back on his promises. And at the beginning of the tribulation, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel. He's the powerful global ruler. It's going to arise. And Israel will enter into that treaty so that their borders are secure. And for a time of 3.5 years, there's relative peace. At the midpoint of the treaty, he breaks it. He has guaranteed Israel's borders, but he breaks it. But during that time, during that 3.5 years, many, many Israelis, Jews, are come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You say, John, how do you know that? It's prophesied. Think of Revelation 7, the 12 tribes, 144,000 Israelis converted are going to be, as it were, evangelists throughout the whole world and will bring the gospel to the whole world. And many people, Jew and Gentile, will come to saving faith during the tribulation period. But now, halfway through the 7 years, the Antichrist, under the guise of protecting Israel, will invade Israel. He'll break his covenant, and he will place himself in the temple as God. What blasphemy. And the abomination of desolation then commences the great tribulation period, and it climaxes with the return of Jesus Christ with power and glory. Now notice our text from verses 16 through 20. Jesus says, at the sign of the abomination of desolation, that is, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, you should immediately flee. When the Romans surrounded Israel, and particularly when they surrounded Jerusalem in AD 70, this was a sign for Israel to flee, to get out. Flee to the mountains, get out of Jerusalem. We think what's happening in Ukraine. There's the Russians going in. What do the Ukrainians do? Many of them leave, the women and children in particular, they leave. They get away from the danger. They get away as quickly as possible because they know if they stay, they can be killed. During the tribulation period, it's the same thing. Pray that it's not winter. How difficult it's going to be for a woman who's pregnant, for a woman who's nursing, Jesus says. And during that time, there's going to be many false reports that Jesus Christ has come, verses 23 and 24. Some of these false Christs will perform signs and wonders. Don't think that every miracle that's performed comes from God. Satan has got great power and is able to produce miracles. Think of the magicians, as it were, in Egypt regarding Moses. Remember the various miracles with the snake and so on? The magicians could do the same. So just because someone nowadays says, I've done a sign and a wonder, don't necessarily believe them. Now, the Great Tribulation is a time of unprecedented persecution. Look at verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. You say, well, the tribulation now, listen, it's nothing compared with what's coming, is the point. This affliction, this persecution, this tribulation, which follows the abomination of desolation, is unparalleled in human history. And during the tribulation, the focus is not on the church. The church is in heaven. The focus is on Israel. Did you see the references to Judea, verse 16? The reference to the Sabbath, verse 20, Jewish terms. Praise God that the church is raptured prior to the tribulation. But think of this. This tribulation is unparalleled. Verse 22, if it were longer, no one would survive. It's a terrifying time of worldwide trouble, distress, and turmoil. It's unique. It's unparalleled in human history.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the beginning of a message titled The Coming Tribulation. As a thank you to our listeners, we'd like to send you a special resource that will help you clarify and deepen your understanding of what it means to follow Jesus on a daily basis. It's a booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it focuses on the teaching of Jesus and the very practical instruction he gave his followers about how we're meant to live. So if you'd like to grow in your relationship with God and live each day as an authentic follower of Christ, reach out today and request your free copy of Life in the Kingdom by visiting theverdict.org. And while you're on our website, you'll have the opportunity to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict with a simple one-time donation of any amount. Your support will help us share God's word with new listeners in your community and across the world. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a special gift to support this ministry today and help us start strong this new year. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. It's available on your favorite podcast app, and you can learn more about this new topical feature by going to our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe the teaching of Jesus? It may not be the easiest for us to understand, but I encourage you to read and meditate on Matthew chapter 24 and on the other key scriptures dealing with coming events. Isn't it wonderful to know that all of history, the rise and fall of nations, are all under the sovereign purposes of God? The Lord Jesus has promised that He will return. We are to look for His coming. We are to trust Him and love Him with all of our hearts, and we're to live holy lives. He's coming soon.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.